Well, that was a nice little bit there, wasn't it? The word guy?
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of mouth. Whole lot of mouth. Again, I really am thankful to be able to do this, you know? Thanks for coming. We are today where we are because of our belief. Ever hear that before?
Yeah.
See, I have to watch it back here. I'm going to be airborne. I'm going to see if he has feet. That happened in the classrooms. Were you there, Keith? I guess Keith's research is important. Reverend Earl Burton was teaching us, and he flew off. He was in the ambassador room, and he just flew off the back, and all we saw was that was a classic. The gambling class after that.
We know.
You knew him, really. We are today where we are because of our believing. We will be tomorrow where our believing takes us. None of us have ever risen beyond that which we believe, and not one of us can believe more than we understand. We believe what we believe because of what we've been taught. You know, I think about this sometimes. But some of the things that I've learned in my life that were important to me besides the Bible, you know, which are very few, but, you know, think about people that made impressions on us, both good and bad. We're a product of what we've been fed. And it's interesting. And we think the way we think because of where we've been led. And there's basically only one thing that ever defeats a believer, and that's fear. Fear is the believer's only enemy. And people cause fear. Fear is the sand in the machinery of life. It stops life from flowing as it should flow. And when we have fear in that particular area that we fear, we cannot believe God while we're fearing. And fear has ruined more Christian lives than any other thing in the world. Usually the most intimidated people in the world are people who profess to be Christians, because they don't know their legal rights. They don't know the promises of God's word. They don't know the accuracy and integrity of God's rightly divided word. When and where we have fear in our lives, we will not act on the promises of God. But when and where we believe God and His Word, we cannot fear. Which is really great. That is really great. And I remember in a Power for Abundant Living class when Dr. Werwell taught this, he made a statement that just blew my head off. He said, as far as I know, there's nothing in this world that I'm afraid of. Hearing somebody say something and then living with the person and watching him experience life and take it on are sometimes two different things. I saw his life a lot. From what I saw, that statement was really true. That's the word that takes fear out of us. Believing in the Word of God is that which makes us certain in the midst of uncertainty. The Word of God gives us a firm rock in the sea of religious speculation with which we're surrounded. The Word of God enables us to have a safe safe anchorage in the vast ocean of doubt with which we're surrounded. I want to go through the word in several areas where their fear is mentioned in John chapter 9. And it's interesting how the Word of God notes and points out very vividly and distinctly different types of fears. And of course, John 9 is just a fantastic record of that man who was born blind from his birth. And Jesus Christ came and told him to spit on the ground, he made the mud pie and threw it on his eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And it said he went and he washed and he came back seeing. And then immediately the neighbors got involved and asked him how this thing happened, and he talked about what Jesus Christ told him to do. And then they weren't convinced of the veracity of it, so they took him to the religious leaders. And the religious leaders put him through the coals of fire, wondering why he got healed on the wrong day. Boy, I'd really care if my son or daughter or any of my children had a physical opportunity and you prayed for him when it was the wrong time. I'd really be bummed out, you know, if they got healed. No, I wouldn't. I'd be so thankful. But it wasn't good enough for these religious folks. So they continued to grill him, and they get their parents involved, and then the religious people grill the parents. And in verse 19 it says, they asked him, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. By what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. He's of age, ask him, means he was over 30 years old. These words spake his parents because they what?
Feared the Jews.
They feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. The parents were inhibited from testifying as would have been fitting for them because they were full of fear. They were afraid of being thrown out of their church as well as society, because back then when you got thrown out of the synagogue, it wasn't like getting thrown out of a church today. They were pretty much isolated. So they were afraid. This was a big fear of them. Not only it would just... And I understand why they would have it. It wasn't, you know, and I think sometimes believers who have read this record or heard it think that their parents, his parents, didn't love him. His parents loved him. But they had this fear built up in them. Would have been fitting for them to witness and to testify. But fear is enslaving. And the world around us builds fear. You know, 15 years ago, everybody was screwing everybody, physically, you know, banging their brains out, everybody. Now people are overly cautious almost, because they think if they shake hands, they're going to get AIDS. I don't know everything there is to know about AIDS, but I know that 15 years ago you never heard of it. And then the world made it such a fear thing that people fear enough, they're going to get it. You fear enough, you'll get it. Ain't going to stop me from kissing the girls after fellowship, I'll tell you that. I had a believer, an ordained clergy, to tell me that he stopped kissing girls at fellowship because he thought he might get AIDS. I don't want to mention Steve's name, but no way. It wasn't Steve. He just gave me that surprised look. But the point is, he talked about fear. Here's a great man of God. This guy's a wonderful man of God. I kicked his butt from here to Detroit. Now, said, wake up, man. Took him for a walk. The world around us builds fear all the time. We've been living on negatives so long that when somebody comes around with a positive diet, We think they've got to be crazy, and you're right. Right? Mm-hmm. Some of you guys that are under 25 years old. I'm sure when you got into the Word, and you started teaching your parents, or trying to teach your parents, or yelling at your parents, or whatever you did, they thought you were crazy, and they warned you to do better, watch out, because you just never know, you know, you're not Catholic, you know, but, you know, or whatever. You're going to go to hell. The whole rowdy, you know, fear, 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 fear. And you just laugh at them. You're crazy. Don't you know there was four groups of five? The world around us builds fear. And we've been living on negative so long that when somebody comes around and says it's going to be okay, we want to slap. You don't know my situation. It's one of the main reasons people don't speak God's word is because they're afraid of what people will think. Proverbs 29.
Proverbs
29. You know, Proverbs means words to rule and govern by. Just thought I'd share that. Proverbs was also written to people that are young. Specifically for people that are young. So, good. Verse 25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be what? The fear of man bringeth a snare. A snare is a trap. You ever seen the big bear traps they got in cartoons? That's the only place I ever saw one of those cartoons. The big old traps with the big old teeth, you know. Well, there's two outstanding qualities about a trap. One, it has to have good bait, the proper bait. For instance, if I want to catch a muskrat, I don't put a ping pong ball in the trap. I don't know what I put there, but it wouldn't be a ping pong ball or a marble. Probably. Secondly, it not only does it have to have good bait, it has to have a good camouflage. It has to blend in with their natural habitat so that you can catch them. Fear of man bringeth the snare. Either they'll make something look real good to the appetite, or they'll hide so they can jump in. Okay. Jeremiah 49. Verse 24. It says, Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrow have taken her as a woman in travail. You know what fear seizing on somebody is? That'd be like if you're sound asleep and somebody came right up to your ear and screamed. And you went, ah! There's another type of fear, the seizing type of fear. And we go, ah! Maybe that's never happened to you, liar. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 says, say ye not a confederacy to all them whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. We're not to be afraid of other people's fear. Yesterday was a pretty interesting day. In the morning, before our fellowship that we had, which I'm sure a lot of you guys had too, had them all over the state, as I was praying, lifting everything, I just was very aware that people would be wondering about the weather. Believers would be just kind of wondering, you know. We initially had it scheduled to be outside, but we had a backup, so I put it inside. And then we had so many people we couldn't fit them, and then I said, look, Are you guys going to make a decision now to believe not to look all around and wonder if it's going to rain in the next 10 seconds? Because if you're not, I'm going to disfellowship here so you're not distracted. If you think you can believe for a couple hours that it won't rain and not be distracted, we'll go out. If you can't, fine, I won't criticize, condemn you. We'll just sit here so you don't have to wonder about it. And they believed, and it was great. For you, it was great, too. Okay. We're not to be afraid of other people's fears. If we don't take a stand where we know we should, how are we ever going to teach people? If we succumb to their fear and we tell them, well, there's no fear, but we're afraid ourselves. Something's goofy there. It says in Psalm 34, let's go there. Verse 4. The 34th Psalm, verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my what?
Fears.
Well, hallelujah. You mean David was human too, huh? Did David have fear?
Yes.
Did God deliver him from it?
Yes.
Sure. It's no sin to be afraid. It's sin to stay afraid when you know you don't have to be. It's no sin from getting a negative thought. The sin is when you entertain it. It's no sin when you think like an idiot. It's a sin when we just harbor on those stupid thoughts. David sought the Lord. You ever play hide and seek? I have. You ever been it? Not it. And you're it. You gotta go look. You gotta, it's not a passive, you just wait. Just wait. You gotta go look for people. That's how most people treat God. They just sit there. And they just don't do anything. Now we gotta look for God. We'll find him in his word. It's not passively, it's aggressively. What's important to you? That we're good looking, that we're rich, that we're married with children. That we own our own house, that we own our own car, that we have a good job, that we dress the right way. What is important? Whatever it is that's important to us, that is what we'll put the most time into. You can say, well, I don't really want to be that way. Liar. It's a lie. Don't you lie like that. You lie like a rug, you smell like a cow. Want to know God, we're going to know him. We can't blame anybody for not knowing him. We can't blame anybody for our fear. That takes a lot of criticism, condemning it to blame. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. You can go there while I say it. 2 Timothy, after 1 Timothy, you remember that. Chapter 1. I'm going to wait for you. You're waiting for me to say it. I'm just going to wait for you. Better go there because I won't say it. 2 Timothy. Oh, I killed myself. 2 Timothy 1. And I want you to read verse 7. You? Yeah? Amen. You guys have your own Bibles? You do? Are you sharing? That's beautiful how that happened. Sharing. God hasn't given us the spirit of what?
Yeah.
He hasn't given it to us, then doggone it, it don't belong to us. We got Christ in us, the hope of glory. Get out! Right. He hadn't given us the spirit of fear. But what he's given us is power, love, and a sound mind. And to not have a sound mind is to have an insane mind. Romans 10, we read about believing. Let's go there. Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17. Somebody on this side of the room read it. Stand up and read it. Well, let's fight over the word. That's good. I like that. One thing. What?
The word of God.
What? It's the word of God. That's how believing comes. That's why we're here. We're to learn God's word. It's to the end that we just soak our ears and just get blessed. Hebrews 11. Genesis, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, bless your heart. Let your fingers do the walking. Hebrews, it's right after Judaism. Okay, Hebrews 11. Tomorrow or Wednesday, we're going to have a Bible memorizing contest. See if you know either books of the Bible. Most of them when you took the class. For some of you, haven't had the class because it's not available, so I might as well learn them before Wednesday. Everybody.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them. You know, start with Genesis and then with Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Who wants to read verse 1? Go ahead.
Now faith is the substance.
Stand up.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. Thank you. The literal translation according to usage there is now believing is the title deed of things prayed for. Believing is the title deed of things prayed for. Believing is the title deed of things prayed for. The evidence that they are yours. The evidence that they are yours. Now believing is the title deed of things prayed for. The evidence that they are yours before you what?
See
them. Believing is the title deed of things prayed for. The evidence that they're yours before you see them. You see, in the Old Testament and in the Gospels, they saw first and believed. In the New Testament, our privilege is to believe first and then see, which is wonderful. Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. Excuse me. In Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 22, Jesus Christ says, "And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." Boy, you know, we're going to get into prayer if we have the time later on. But really, I get in trouble every time I say that somebody comes up. I try to pray less and believe more now. Than I used to. What is the use of praying if you don't believe? Ever thought about that? I'm talking with our understanding. Speaking in tongues, I understand because all the different benefits. But praying with our understanding, like, God, please heal me. Well, Hebrews 11:6 says the only way to please God is by what?
Believing.
Someplace else it says it's sin if you don't believe. Where does it say that? Someplace.
End of Romans.
Yeah. See, why pray if you don't believe, Donald? Why pray if you don't believe? Or, Melody, why not pray and believe? That's what he's there for. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be blessed more than we're willing to even ask. I'm not saying let's stop praying. I'm saying let's believe when we pray. Because that's what the Word says. Great old song in one of the old song books, not that one. Believing's the key to heaven. Faith unlocks the door. Words are so easily spoke. A prayer without believing is like a boat without an oar. Believe when you pray to the Master. That's all he asks you for. Believing is the key to heaven. Faith unlocks the door. Great song, isn't it? Well, I guess you didn't hear the song. I just heard the quote. But great words. And that's what makes a great song. We'll meet with you musicians someday. In a padded room. 1 John 3. You see, we've got to know what, I know it's late, but you know what? We're getting into the Word this 6 days. It's all we got. And I know you work, you sleep, you pray, you believe, you go to church, or I don't know what you do, but you do things, and just like I do. I mean, I drive an hour and a half to get here, an hour and a half to go back, so, you got, it took me an hour and a half. Because I came at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
When life is interesting. It takes you less time to walk. Anyway, 1 John chapter 3.
Oh, I thought this verse yesterday and I almost passed out.
Such a great verse. Two verses, actually. Verse 1 says, behold. Behold means pay attention to. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Man, he called us, didn't he? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as it. We're sons of God. We are what God's word says we are. Ephesians 2:10. You see, this first night, what I'm attempting to do is just build the integrity of God's word before we get into the depths of believing. Verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship. And that word workmanship is masterpieces. We are God's masterpieces. You know, Picasso had his whatever. Rembrandt had his. Charles Schultz had his. But we are God's masterpieces. When are we going to believe that? When? Might as well believe it now. Why can't we? Why can't we just accept God's grace and his goodness without huffing about it? We're his masterpieces. My teeth are. Oh, it's bad. My son came up to me the other day and said, Dad, does your face hurt? I said, no, it's killing me. And he walked out of the room. I had to say, I'm his masterpiece. We're his masterpiece because God's word says so, not because I'm a good looking fella or a bad looking fella or fat or skinny or nerdy or those other words they used earlier. See, those are all stupid dumb things. We're God's masterpiece. That's nice just to think about. Verse 6 says, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're there. Spiritually, we are there. We're raised. We're seated. And our believing challenge constantly, as we'll see and as we've already seen in our life, is for us to line our confession and our heart up with what the Word already says about us. There's where the work is. That's all the work that's involved in this life. It's just lining our life up with God's will. See, these black glasses are in, huh? I gotta get me a pair. Arsenio Hall wears them. I think I'll have to go get some. Just kidding. Something. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, and hath given us a ministry of reconciliation." Boy, it says in the Word that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Isn't it great when we hide the Word in our hearts and just get fed the Word and hear the Word enough? That's when we start to speak. Boy, that's when you know you're starting to change, when you start speaking the Word of God. Because that's what's true. Romans 8. And in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8 it says, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." But that's what the Word of God says. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we are?
Yes.
Amen. Colossians chapter 2. And I mentioned to some of you what?
Romans 8, what?
37. Colossians chapter 2, and as some of you know, I wrote a song after this verse. Maybe I'll play it this week. Show some of you guys what's happening in the music field. Verse 10 says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." If we're complete, then are we lacking?
No.
That would be a contradiction to God's word. We are completely, completely, completely complete. Those of us that are born again of God's Spirit, who have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, are born again, part of God's wonderful family as a result of his grace and mercy. And at that particular time, we are complete.
That's who we are.
There's not a doggone thing that we can do about it except confess it. In verse 27 of chapter 1, it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." We have Christ totally in every part. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Go there, please. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the word, Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." There is recorded and listed the manifestations of the Spirit that are available for every believer born again of God's Spirit to manifest, to speak in tongues. Man, oh man, what an awesome privilege. To interpret tongues and to prophesy, they really give to the body of Christ in a wonderful way. To receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. To know what to do in a given situation. Man, that has already been given to you by revelation, which supersedes our human knowledge. And then to be able to believe, to bring the impossible to pass, and to see miracles and healing. What an awesome privilege given to us by God's infinite mercy and grace. Wow. And nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit and the living Word in an individual will ever take the fear out of a person. Nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit and an individual in the living Word will take the fear out of him. That's what took the fear out of Peter and John from being behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And then several weeks later, Peter gave that tremendous sermon after the day of Pentecost when they spoke in tongues for the first time. Galatians 5. And in Galatians 5, we have recorded to us the result of the operation of the manifestations, which is in verse 22 and 23, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no what?
Law.
We have the fruit of the Spirit. It says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It says in verse 19 that God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. It says in Ephesians 3:20, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to his power that worketh in us. Boy, oh boy, the Word of God is just loaded with wonderful promises made available to you and I as God's kids. Whether we like it or we don't like it, whether we feel like it or we don't, God's Word is available to us now. We don't have to sit and brew. We can believe it today. And don't base your believing of tomorrow on what happened yesterday. Because then you're talking about experiences. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's going to be the greatest day of our lives if we choose to believe God's Word. Even if it's raining, even if it's cloudy, even if it's sunny, even if it's windy. Hey, in Acts chapter 8, all hell was breaking. There was a great persecution in the church. They were smashing in believers' houses, taking them, men and women and children, to jail. So God told them, get up, get out. And they moved to a place that they were totally unaccustomed to, where only half Jews lived. Their whole atmosphere was different. They moved their house. They had to get new jobs. They had to get new cars. They didn't have cars. They had to get, they had to take their kids and put them in new schools. And all they spoke was God's Word. And we get upset if it's snowing or windy. The Word. That's all that we need to confess and believe. If we want the Word of God to come to pass in our life, then we start afresh every second of every day. We can't live and believe according to what happened yesterday or last week or last 5 years. Today's a new day. And every time we confess broken fellowship with our Heavenly Father, we're back on track with Him. He loves us. He knows our friend. He knows that we love Him. I certainly love you. Thank God for you. And I hope I don't see you Wednesday. I hope I see you in the air. That would be nice if we were gathered together. But if we're not gathered, I'm looking very forward to seeing you. If we are, then I hope I don't see you. Here, anyway. Hope I see you.